Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Nectar of Instruction. We are continuing now with the text Dikshet Krishnetiya Sigritam Manasadriyeta. So we'll discuss a few points. There are a lot of important points which Srila Prabhupada makes in his purport. So I'll discuss a few points. Let us look at this PowerPoint over here. So we see, we discussed most of it, but here we'll see the bottom. How a person interacts with Uttamadhikari. So we go with faith and we inquire. When we inquire, we associate and we serve. So it is said that we inquire, and then when the process of inquiry, we become more close, we learn association, and then in association we serve. And then when we serve a person, our faith in that person increases again. And greater faith, we make more intimate inquiries, and then that deepens the relationship, the association becomes even deeper. Yeah? So, it faith, inquiry, association, service, it goes on cyclically like that. It's an ever deepening cycle. So, it is said that actually, when we associate it to the Mahabhagavata, it is a true leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. A true leader is one who knows the way. That means, this is the way I should go. And not only knows the way, actually, after knowing the way, often going along the way is not easy. It requires a lot of struggle. The leader sets the example and goes the way. And then actually goes through the journey which one has to go through. And then finally shows the way. Okay, this is how you should go. So this is actually the characteristic of a true leader. And we see this in Srila Prabhupada, in the way he lived and shared Krishna consciousness with others. So a leader is one who knows the way. Srila Prabhupada, he internalized the Vedic scriptures based on hearing from his spiritual master, studying his spiritual master's books, and studying the previous Acharya's books, in addition, of course, to living right from his early childhood in a very devotional atmosphere that was very carefully protected and cultivated by his devout father, Gaur Mohan Dev, whom Srila Prabhupada calls in his Krishna book as a pure devotee. And then he also learned what he had learned in a cultural sense from his father. He learned in a philosophical sense from his spiritual father, his Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then with both those assets, Srila Prabhupada, he actually knew the way. And he knew that now, here we are not talking about Srila Prabhupada as a person who is descended from the spiritual world. That is there definitely. Srila Prabhupada has spoken that on intimate occasions to a few of his disciples, that Krishna sent him from the spiritual world. But Srila Prabhupada never claimed that that was the basis of his authority for preaching. He said, my authority for preaching is because my spiritual master has instructed me to, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy is already there. And fulfilling the prophecy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the responsibility of every soul. So, of every follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ultimately every soul, because every soul is a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but at least those who have accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their worshipable Lord, it is their responsibility to fulfill their prophecy. And Srila Prabhupada would say that one time in an intimate meeting with one of his godbrothers saying that, now this whole Prithvi, maybe at that time people thought Prithvi was just India. And so all over India the holy name will be chanted, and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur has already done that. Prabhupada said, no. Actually, Prithvi means the whole world. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it will happen. So at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was ailing and he would not have lived for very long. So then the devotees said, but who will do that? So Srila Prabhupada became grave and he said, some fool will do it. Some fool will do it. What does that mean? You know, Prabhupada said that, you know, if we just have too much faith in our rational intelligence, how will this happen? How will that happen? How will that happen? Then our rational intelligence will make us think that sharing Krishna consciousness in this Kali Yuga is mission impossible. It's not possible. Who is going to hear? But when we base our thinking not just on our logic, but on faith in Krishna and on the transcendental logic that with Krishna everything is possible, and whoever chooses to become an instrument of Krishna, Krishna can empower that person. So with this faith, when we work, then we understand that sharing Krishna consciousness and the subsequent spread of Krishna consciousness all over the world is not mission impossible. Actually, it is mission unstoppable. It is mission unstoppable, because who can stop Krishna? Krishna is all-powerful, and it is his mission, and it will spread all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada said that some fool will do it. So what he meant by that fool was, one doesn't have too much faith in one's own logic and rationality of how it will be possible. One just does what one can, and then Krishna makes the arrangements. So we see, it is said that there are various definitions of faith. One general understanding of faith is to take one step up a staircase when we can't see the full staircase up. Take one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. Along the direction that Krishna wants us to go, just keep taking one step, one step, one step, and then Krishna will reveal the way to us. So Srila Prabhupada knew the way means, it was not that he knew exactly when he will go to New York, what will happen when he will go to New York, and how he will meet different people and they will become devotees and how he will send them all over the world. Srila Prabhupada had a vision, in the sense that, not a mystical vision, but a vision in the sense that a deep faith, which also led to visualization within his heart, that actually there are temples, there are devotees, just time is separating us from them. So of course you could call it a mystical vision also, but the point was that Srila Prabhupada he knew the way, not in the details, but in the broad principle of faith, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying has to happen. So he knew the way. And then not only did he knew the way, so a devotee can be passive. Oh, it is your Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy, he is Supreme Lord, he will fulfill it. No, a devotee doesn't think like that. A devotee thinks, I have to do it. No, if I love my Lord, then his words, making them true, is my responsibility. That's what a devotee is, that's the meaning of surrender, that's the meaning of dedication, that's the meaning of commitment. And that's what Krishna tells Arjuna, that you fight. And what does Arjuna say? Karishye vachanam tava. Srila Prabhupada says in a lecture that Arjuna doesn't say, oh Krishna, you are God, then you kill all the enemies, I'll just sit by the side and I'll eat bhang, I'll drink bhang. Prabhupada is making a caricature of pseudo-spiritualists over there. He says, a devotee takes responsibility for Krishna's mission. So Prabhupada had that sense of responsibility, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy is my responsibility. And Srila Prabhupada went the way. The leader knows the way, he knew the way in the sense that he had the faith that it will happen. And he knew that the Lord's, nothing can stop the Lord's will from actualizing. But he himself took the responsibility, he goes the way. So Srila Prabhupada himself physically also travelled in an extraordinary way for such a long time in his life. So vigorously, at such an advanced age. And for a long, long time, Srila Prabhupada went around the world 14 times almost. In the last 10-11 years of his life. Even from a material point of view, that is a remarkable feat. And it was not just Srila Prabhupada travelling and sightseeing, he was constantly busy. He was barely sleeping for a few hours at night and sharing Krishna consciousness with enormous vigor. So, actually, he went the way. He worked harder than anyone else. You know, we sometimes say that a pure devotee is empowered. Yes, the empowerment is there. But empowerment doesn't mean that there are no obstacles. Yeah. Empowerment means even when there are obstacles, the devotee perseveres. And that in one sense, the determination to go on is the empowerment. And sometimes maybe in old movies you might have seen, in a Ramayana on television was there. So there's a Rakshasa will shoot an arrow and Lord Ram or Lakshman, somebody will shoot an arrow. And both arrows come together and one arrow falls off. One arrow just falls off. So like that, most often what happens is, when we have some determination to serve Krishna, and when some obstacle comes, so the two arrows collide, our determination falls off. It's, I can't do it, leave it, it's too complex, too difficult. But with Srila Prabhupada, no matter how many big obstacles came, everything just fell off, and Srila Prabhupada went on. So he went the way. The kind of difficulty that Srila Prabhupada faced was unbelievable. The difficulties were multiple. It was just, at one level the difficulties were that he was his own body was aging and he was weak, he was all alone. And then later on he got very dedicated devotees. But even they had difficulties. in following the spiritual standards. They had difficulties in interrelating with each other. They had difficulties in presenting Krishna consciousness to the world properly. They misrepresented sometimes. And there were difficulties of being in a foreign cult country where the devotees were labeled as cultists. And then they had to fight court cases. Sometimes devotees were abducted, brainwashed. So sometimes devotees were arrested and put in jail. So there were actually multiple difficulties for Srila Prabhupada. But he just went on indefatigably, tirelessly preaching. So he goes the way and then he shows the way. Srila Prabhupada not only went on heroically preaching, but he also shared how you should do it. Just do as I have done and share Krishna consciousness with the world. So he went the way and he showed the way. He actually, Srila Prabhupada in one lecture says that, not just one lecture, several places says that, actually this Krishna consciousness movement is practically invented by me. Now, invented by me doesn't mean that it was concocted, but invented in the sense that how people with cultural upbringing that was radically different from the traditional cultural upbringing, how they could be engaged in devotional service. Now, how people who had never heard of Krishna, how could they be inspired and engaged in such a way that they could give their life to Krishna? Srila Prabhupada used tremendous devotional creativity for that. And the way Srila Prabhupada started Rath Yatra, we discussed that earlier, how the hippies liked to do outlandish things. And Srila Prabhupada started Rath Yatra, which was the most outlandish thing which they could think of. You know, dancing in the streets. And not only that, Srila Prabhupada started book distribution. Now, the tradition was that brahmacharis go out and beg. But Srila Prabhupada said, begging is not respectable. So you go and give something and then ask for charity. And book distribution becomes such a tremendous, phenomenal means of not only sharing wisdom, but also increasing the Lakshmi in the service of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, in India, he came and he made life membership. So Srila Prabhupada came up with many different schemes and plans by which not only to share Krishna consciousness, but also to engage the devotees. So he kept the principles the same, the Sambandha Gyan he kept the same, but the Abhideya, Prabhupada was tremendously innovative in terms of how to get devotees to practice devotional service. Sambandha is the philosophical understanding that I am a servant of Krishna, the basic philosophical knowledge. Srila Prabhupada did not change Sambandha. That is, he kept the points very clear that I am the servant of Krishna. That he did not change anyway. But Abhideya, how should we connect with Krishna? Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan, these are three primary aspects of actually of any process. Now, if a person wants to say the advertisement, and then, okay, there's a car advertisement. And the person sees the car advertisement and the person thinks, oh, I want that car. The car advertisement says, purchase this car and enjoy the envy in your neighbor's eyes. So it's actually such a degraded standard. You're thinking that my enjoyment will be the envy in another's eyes. But whatever, person sees the car and the sambandha is established. Oh, I want that car. So first we look at our object, we come to know about that object, and then we want to develop a relationship with that object. Then after that is abhidheya. There is a process. Okay, how do I develop? Now I understood this is the object with which I want to develop a relationship. How do I develop that relationship? So that is a process for that. So I withdraw money from my bank and go to the car showroom and purchase the car. If I don't have that, then I work my plan to get a loan. If I can't get a loan, then I do savings. And then based on, I mortgage something. Then I go to the car showroom and then I decide to purchase a car. So abhidheya is the process by which we develop the sambandha. Sambandha is basically knowledge. So, Sambandha Krishna, Bhakti Abhideya, Prema Prayojan, Chaitanya Charitamrita says. And then what happens when I ride in the car, and then when I go ride by my neighbor's house, I am about to enjoy the envy in his neighbor's eyes, and I find that he is riding in a more modern car than what I have got. And then instead of enjoying the envy in his eyes, he enjoys the envy in my eyes. So, it's a distressing and devastating anticlimax for me. So generally, the prayojan in terms of happiness, it's almost always an anticlimax in material life. So, but the principle is that in everything, this is how we work. Sambandha, abhideya, prayojan. In movies, they show that there is a boy and a girl, and somehow they are traveling through a building, and both of them get trapped in the same lift at the same time, and the lift electricity goes off, and they look at each other, and when they touch each other, they feel electric current is flowing through their body, and they think we want to develop a sambandh. And then after that, the whole movie, where maybe the girl's parents oppose, the boy's parents oppose, and then there is fighting, and there is misunderstanding, and there are all kinds of complexities. That is the whole thing is Abhidev. And then the prayojan that they show is, and they lived happily ever after. Now that prayojan is not true, because actually nobody lives happily ever after. We discussed how we say happily ever after. This is exactly opposite of what Bhagavata teaches. Bhagavata teaches, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So nobody lives ever after. It's ashashvatam. And this is dukkhalayam, so nobody lives happily. But the point is, sambandha abhidev prayojan is there everywhere. So now, sambandha, Prabhupada gives the philosophical knowledge to explain how Krishna is the all-attractive Supreme Lord. And we have to develop a relationship with Him. So that's sambandha. Then abhideya is, how do I develop my relation? That is by the process of bhakti. So how is the process of bhakti to be practiced in the modern times? That Prabhupada explains was his invention. So many different ways he came up by which he could engage devotees. And the prayojan here is truly fulfilling. It is love for Krishna, which is a lasting and fulfilling asset, which just keeps filling and flooding our heart with happiness for all of eternity. So Srila Prabhupada showed the way how to engage devotees in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada in many ways was very creative, always very faithful to the tradition, but at the same time, in terms of engaging devotees, was extremely innovative. And he encouraged devotees to come up with different ideas of how you can share Krishna consciousness. So when the devotees were going to organize a big pandal program in Mumbai. So at that time they did a lot of publicity blitz, and then they made a big helium balloon. And near CST station, that was VT at that time, they put the balloons, they made the balloon, huge balloon, suspended so that practically from any part of Mumbai people could see it, look in the sky, and they'll see this balloon. And on that balloon was written, Hare Krishna. So at that time, the propaganda was such, people already knew what Hare Krishna meant. There's a Hare Krishna festival and the advertisement of that. And Prabhupada appreciated it. So, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. This was Srila Prabhupada. And it is such an advanced devotee. Shushrushaya bhajana vigyam ananyamanya nindadi shunyarudamipsita sangalabdhya. That we should aspire for the association of such an advanced devotee who is bhajanavigya. Bhajanavigya means expert in bhajan. Expert in bhajan doesn't just mean expert in remembering the esoteric pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That is there. But the expertise that is relevant for a person who wants to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy is how to expertly attract people to Krishna's lotus feet. And not just attract people, but subsequently engage people in Krishna's service. So that was Srila Prabhupada's bhajanavigya. Ananya, and he was purely devoted to Krishna, to nothing else. That was how Prabhupada is in that category where devotees even today, they long for his association. And those who got associated for a few moments of Srila Prabhupada, that has become their permanent lifelong asset. It's a perennial treasure which they can draw back on and relish and cherish in their hearts and derive inspiration from it. There's a devotee who met Srila Prabhupada, and the only interaction he had was Prabhupada was coming down to go for morning walk, and he was going to say, Prabhupada looked at him and said, Jai, that's all. And this devotee felt, oh, Prabhupada was appreciating, encouraging, and giving confidence. Jai, you know, that you have become a devotee, Jai. You know, whatever discouragements you are, you know that Krishna is supreme and you'll be successful, Jai. So he says, through that one expression, Jai, this devotee can draw unlimited purports and keep getting inspiration. So this is Nindadi Shunyarudamipsita Sangalabdha. It is, you cherish the association. Bhagavatam says that, you know, how a devotee relishes the association of advanced devotees. And just as in the peacock season, the clouds are coming, then what happens? The peacock's feathers just rise up in a beautiful blossom. It starts dancing in joy. So like that, when we get the association of advanced devotees, we also become jubilant. So that's how the advanced devotees, when they speak words, they go into our heart. And then we become purified by that. And we make swift spiritual advancement. When our hearts are attracted to such devotees, we want to serve them, and then because they want us to serve Krishna, when we serve them, essentially we are serving Krishna, and that way we make rapid spiritual advancement. Now, if we move forward and think about what are the characteristics of such advanced devotee, so Prabhupada, as I discussed, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, Prabhupada quotes this, a Vaishnava is known by how many other Vaishnavas a person makes. So, yes. Is preaching success a sign of spiritual advancement? Yes, it is. Provided it is a result of, not a substitute for, inner fulfillment. What does this mean? Inner fulfillment means that when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, we feel happy, we feel satisfied, we feel that I am very fortunate that I have come to know about the purpose of life, that I have connected with Krishna, and now I am on my way back to Krishna after losing myself in material existence throughout this life and for so many earlier lives. So when we feel fulfilled internally, it's not that we have no struggles. We always have struggles. As long as we are in sadhaka stage, we'll all have struggles. But actually, this world is like a hospital and we are all like patients. But we are all like patients who have been diagnosed correctly and are now being treated correctly. So it's not that once the treatment starts, automatically all pain goes away. But certainly the pain decreases. And not only does the pain decrease, along with that, the health also returns. So, a patient who has taken the treatment for some time can clearly see, I may still have some pains, but as compared to earlier, my suffering is much lesser. I'm healthier now. And that gives the patient the faith that this treatment works. If I keep following this treatment, then it will work more. And I'll become healthier and healthier till I become completely disease-free. So, like that, by the practice of devotional service, we will all become disease-free. What is our disease? It is our material attachments. It is bhava roga, as the Bhagavatam calls it. The disease of material existence, which is caused by our material desires. So, this causes not only the miseries of birth, old age, disease and death, not only the adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivik tap, but also causes the torment of the shadvikar, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride and illusion. And by the practice of Krishna consciousness, now, this is what we see, the lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion start decreasing. We gain levels of self-mastery which we had thought would have been impossible for us. And then, as we learn to live a life according to scriptures, then adhyatmika, adhibhauti, adhidaivik kleshas also decrease. Because we learn how not to maximize conflicts, but how to live harmoniously. So we see that this process works. We become more peaceful, we become more joyful. Our life becomes more purposeful and meaningful. So just as when a person is sick and has found a cure for the disease, then whenever that person sees anybody else with that disease, that person feels, oh, why are you suffering? Please take this medicine, it works, it will cure you. So, when a person understands that, naturally the person wants to practice the method, practice the process. So similarly, when we are sharing Krishna consciousness, we have experienced, we have relished the transformational potency, the curative power of Krishna consciousness. And we see others are also suffering similarly, so we want them also to relish the power. And that's why we talk about Krishna consciousness, we share Krishna consciousness with others. So when this is the motive, then naturally our genuine conviction comes out. And when a person speaks sincerely from their heart and also touches and transforms others' heart, then the preaching success is growing out of one's inner fulfillment. It is a result of one's inner fulfillment. And then naturally such a convinced person attracts many other people. And when a person attracts many other people, then the Krishna consciousness movement spreads. So Srila Prabhupada was like that. He was satisfied. He did not need anything. Completely satisfied in chanting Hare Krishna and sharing Krishna consciousness. And he attracted others. So many others. So ideally, preaching success should be a result of our inner fulfillment. But in some cases, preaching success can be a substitute for our inner fulfillment. And that can be dangerous. Then it is not a sign of spiritual advancement. See, when we are getting inner fulfillment, that itself means we are advancing spiritually. Because what is spiritual advancement? It means we are returning to our original nature as Satchitananda. Atma is Satchitananda. But the Atma cannot experience Ananda as long as the Atma is identifying with the Asat, Achit, Nirananda body. So to make spiritual advancement means to distance ourselves from the body misidentification and to realize ourselves to be Satchitananda. And of course, we don't realize, we are not just spiritualists who just want to understand ourselves as souls. We are devotees. So devotees means we don't, are not satisfied with just the Atma being Satchitananda. We want to understand the Atma has a loving relationship with Krishna. And in that loving relationship, there is life's greatest fulfillment. So we want to realize this. So if we make spiritual advancement, that means we relish the spirit, joyful nature of the Atma and relish the joy of loving Krishna. And naturally we feel fulfilled by this. But in some cases, a person is not following the process properly. Person is not really remembering Krishna, not striving for purification, not practicing Krishna consciousness seriously, then one may not get purified. If one is not getting purified, then one doesn't experience higher happiness. One doesn't experience inner fulfillment. And one needs happiness. So when we need happiness and we are not getting inner fulfillment, then we seek outer glorification as a substitute for inner fulfillment. I need happiness somewhere. So if I am not getting it inside, then I look for it outside. And then Krishna becomes a tool for me to get external happiness. Actually, you know, we should give up external happiness for Krishna's sake, but we use bhakti and the knowledge that Krishna has given us, the position that Krishna has given us, the tool for getting external happiness. So we want to speak eloquently and effectively, so that, not that people become Krishna's devotees, yes, that may happen, but I should be praised, I should have so many followers, I should be famous as a person who has made so many devotees. And my joy doesn't come because others have become, so many people have become devotees. My joy has come because I made them devotees. And not only I made them devotees, they are serving me now. They treat me like the representative of God. And they obey my word. So this is very sad when it happens. Because then the outer success is not coming as a result of inner fulfillment. It is a substitute for inner fulfillment. And at that, such preaching success is not a sign of spiritual advancement. It's actually, it is a sign of spiritual danger. That means when one wants to succeed externally for the sake of feeling a sense of self-worth and feeling a sense of fulfillment. If our goal is just to succeed externally, then we could have gone in material life and succeeded externally. There also one can succeed, one can get glorification from others, one can get praise, one can get medals. But as devotees, we come to Krishna consciousness not for external success primarily. We come primarily for internal success, for developing our relationship with Krishna. Now, in Krishna consciousness also there are many landmarks of external success. Srila Prabhupada would glorify those who distributed books very vigorously. And he would want to hear the scores of who distributed how many books. So in that sense, Prabhupada was quite eager to hear about external success also. But at the same time, Prabhupada was asked, what will please you the most? The book distributors were very confident that Prabhupada will say, book distribution pleases you, will please me the most. But in Prabhupada's grave, and he said, what will please me the most is when you love Krishna. When you love Krishna. So the books are all teaching us and everyone else that why we should love Krishna and how we should love Krishna. So ultimately the goal of life is not just to become the world's number one book distributor. The goal of life is to love Krishna and to return to Krishna. Now, because we love Krishna, we want to share Krishna's message with others. And that's why we want to distribute books. So success in book distribution should flow out of our inner fulfillment in Krishna consciousness. And same applies to other projects also. This is not to say that external success is not important and we shouldn't have this vision. If somebody is doing wonderful service, you know, the person has read a lot of books or gives very nice classes or has helped in building many big temples, you know, this person is just having external success. And that person's external success is a substitute for inner success, inner fulfillment. We shouldn't judge others like this. we should use this for ourselves. You know, we don't know what is happening in between a person's life, between that person and Krishna. Even if that were true, are we in a position to help that person? If we are not, then let's not bother about it. Let's focus on our purification and our connection with Krishna. So for ourselves, we can say that whether I am feeling spiritual advancement, and how do I know I am feeling spiritual advancement? And I am internally satisfied in my relationship with Krishna. And then I want to share that relationship. Now, preaching success is one characteristic. Preaching doesn't necessarily mean we have to sit on the Vyasasana and we have to give classes. That is one kind of preaching. But preaching essentially means that we remove the obstacles between the conditioned soul and Krishna. Who is a preacher? Preacher is one who removes the obstacles between the conditioned soul and Krishna. So one obstacle is misconceptions. It's ignorance and misconception. Ignorance means one doesn't know, and misconception means one knows wrong things. So ignorance and misconceptions, this is one obstacle. And when we give classes, when we speak the philosophy, we are removing that one obstacle. But there can be many other obstacles. There can be other obstacles, say, there's no culture where people can practice devotional service nicely. Today's materialistic culture is so anti-devotional that it becomes like a war just to practice the basic principles in such a culture. So, if some devotees are working very hard to build a community where devotees can get refuge from the materialistic culture and have a safe zone where they're going to practice spiritual life nicely, then building up that culture is also preaching. So, there also the obstacle of a hostile culture is being removed. And when we are building up a culture, what all does the culture involve? Most importantly, culture involves, devotional culture is centered on the deities. So the pujaris may not be giving classes, but if they are serving the deities very diligently, punctually, and they're decorating them very beautifully, and manifesting their all attractive beauty to the world, then they are preaching. If the cooks are cooking prasadam nicely, and through that they are attracting people to come for the programs in the temple, they are also preaching. So, actually speaking, the whole Krishna conscious mission is essentially a mission of preaching. Because ultimately, we are creating facilities and systems for people to become Krishna conscious, for people to come closer and closer to Krishna. Now, different devotees will have different inclinations. Some devotees may directly want to be in preaching, where they want to speak about Krishna. They want to connect people with Krishna. So there can be preachers, there can be speakers, there can be writers, there can be counselors, there can be community builders. They're all different kinds of preachers. So they're all working in bringing the conditioned souls towards Krishna, or even aspiring devotees, sadhakas towards Krishna. So all this is within the ambit of preaching. And all of these will require bhajana vigya. Expert is not required just in giving classes. Expert is required in many other fields. Bhajana vigya. One has to be expert in bhajana. Bhajana means not just our own chanting, but in helping, inspiring and guiding others to chant. So Srila Prabhupada was like that. And many of Srila Prabhupada's followers are becoming like that. By his mercy, by Krishna's mercy, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And when we associate with such devotees, and we sushrushaya, we serve them, then we make spiritual advancement by that. So for our sake, what we should see is, although all activities are preaching, but still, there is a special joy in giving Krishna to others. Because there we see the potency of Krishna consciousness coming out live. You know, if we share Krishna consciousness with somebody, and then that person's life becomes transformed, the heart becomes transformed, then by that, the person comes closer to Krishna. Then there is a great sense of fulfillment. Actually, the journey of our life, one level of treading the journey of life is, okay, there are so many thorns in my path, I will remove the thorns from my path. And I am busy. I have to solve, remove this problem. There are so many thorns on my path, life's path, and I am busy removing that. That's what we all have to do. But there is a special joy in removing the thorns from the path of others. And not just others who are directly connected with us, our family members, our relatives, But those actually with whom we are only connected through Krishna. So if through the journey of our life, if due to our journey through life, if the path of even one person through life becomes easier, becomes smoother, then that gives a great fulfillment to us. Now people may try to do it at a material level. They think, sometimes people say that I'll sponsor, there's some starving child somewhere, and I'll sponsor the education and the food and the living of the child, and that child's life will become happier. That's a noble sentiment. At the same time, ultimately everyone is spiritually starving. And if we try to help other people, who are all ultimately children of Krishna, they are lost children of Krishna, they are all spiritually starving, and we ease their path through life by giving them Krishna's message in a loving and caring way, then that gives a great sense of fulfillment to our life. So actually what brings joy is selflessness. You know, if I'm just concerned with removing the obstacle, the thorns in my life's path, I have to do that. But I'm basically being centered on myself. But only when I take my mind off myself and think of something nobler, think of something loftier, then I get a deeper fulfillment. Actually, happiness is always a byproduct. It is never a product. Happiness is always a byproduct means that we don't become happy by doing something to become happy. I think, I'll watch this cricket match and then I'll become happy. Why am I watching this cricket match? To become happy. No, if I do that, then if my team loses, I'll feel like breaking the TV. And there's no guarantee. You know, there's a fair probability that my favorite team will lose. Generally speaking, most of the time, if we try to do something with the goal of becoming happy by doing the good thing, we'll soon get bored with it. Real happiness comes, it's not a product, it is a byproduct. Byproduct means when we dedicate ourselves to a cause higher than ourselves. When we commit ourselves to that, and in that commitment, in that selflessness, in that dedication, we consume ourselves. Then as a byproduct, happiness comes along. So happiness is always a byproduct. Now there are many activities, somebody can devote oneself to the nation, to the social welfare, humanitarian level. Somebody can devote themselves to art or music or scientific invention. In all these there is some fulfillment, but it is material and it is temporary. But when we devote ourselves to Krishna, we are devoting ourselves to a cause that is eternal. Our relationship with Krishna is eternal. And therefore the fulfillment, which will also come as a byproduct, is eternal. So, and sadhakas, when we try to ease others' journey through life, then that selflessness, that it may not be easy to do that because others have difficulties, and trying to solve their difficulties puts us also in difficulty sometimes. But when we try to do that through that selflessness, happiness comes as a byproduct. So we should all try to preach as much as possible. Srila Prabhupada wanted that. You know, all devotees try to preach as much as possible. Now, of course, some of us may not be comfortable giving classes. Then we can preach in other ways. Basically, we have to find some service which we can do for Krishna in which we flourish in our spiritual life. And that service, if it is contributing to Krishna's mission, then that is also preaching. So, now Srila Prabhupada also talks in the purport about those who practice spiritual life seriously. So, he talks about Kanishtha, Madhyama and Uttama. So, he says that what is the nature of Kanishtha, Madhyama and Uttama? So, Adhikar and Adhikari. So, there is this classification based on faith and knowledge. And this is based on Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Prabhupada is quoting in the purport over here. So the Kanishtha, the knowledge is very less and the faith is also very less. And in the case of Madhyama, the faith is deep but the knowledge is not so deep. And in the case of Uttama, the faith is very deep and the knowledge is also very deep. So Kanishtha, at the level of Kanishtha, the practice is quite unsteady. One may fall away at any time because one is at a beginning stage. Now when it comes to Madhyama stage, one has actually started practicing the process of devotional service and one has seen the potencies in one's own life. How actually my heart gets purified, how I become happier. And because of this internal assimilation, this internal realization of the process of bhakti, one comes to the Madhyama level. One becomes advanced. And that's why the faith is unshakable. Now, although the faith is strong, faith is unshakable, one may still not be very knowledgeable. In terms of what? In here Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Shastra Yukti. In terms of argumentation based on scripture, so as to present scripture effectively and to infuse Krishna consciousness in others and to refute their misconceptions. So here, it is not just talking about intellectual knowledge. It is talking about applicational knowledge by which we can transform people's hearts. So a Madhyam Adhikari has faith. It's just like, now when a person starts taking a treatment, the person doesn't know what is the treatment all about, and the person also doesn't know whether the treatment will work or not. Doesn't have faith that the treatment will work. So there's no knowledge and there's no faith. So that's the Kanishta stage. Initially one is practicing. Then Madhyama stage means, when I started taking the treatment, when one started taking the treatment, I was thinking, oh, this works. This works very well. Then, at that time, one's faith increases. But still, it is not that the patient who is being cured knows as much as the doctor does. Okay, patient may know, okay, this was the disease and this is the medicine, and I take the medicine, I get cured. So one has basic knowledge. But that doesn't mean that the person is expert enough to be a doctor. But suppose that person gets cured, and the person feels, oh, this was such a potent process, it cured me of such a terrible disease. I want to be a part of the treatment process, not just as a recipient, but as a distributor. I want to be a doctor, and I want to treat people. Then the person studies very deeply. And then the person says, okay, this is how the disease is diagnosed, this is how the disease gets cured when we take the treatment. So then the person becomes expert, and then the person can give treatment. So at that time, a doctor has faith in the medical process and also has knowledge of how all the medical process works, how all the treatment cures a person. So similarly in this case, Madhyama is a person who has seen the treatment working, and that's why the Madhyama is happy. Yes, the treatment works. But the Madhyama also has doubts. Not doubts in the sense that the Madhyama doesn't know in details how does the treatment work. So by logic or by logical analysis, certainly the broad philosophical outline is definitely known. But there, if you study, go deep into philosophy, there are so many different philosophies and there are so many subtleties of the philosophy. And it also requires a very, very sharp awareness to understand what is to be applied where. A doctor, it is not just that one can just memorize the medical books and just replicate everything. On time, place, circumstance, the doctor has to improvise. Okay, this patient has this complication along with this disease. So what should we do now? And then the doctor prescribes. So like that, bhajan vijna. So the Madhyama keeps practicing, observing, sharing Krishna consciousness and understands, okay, this person, we can bring this person to Krishna like this. This person, we can bring this person to Krishna like this. This person's spiritual malady can be cured in this way. That's how the person becomes bhajanya vijna. So, generally speaking, we may say that actually knowledge comes before faith. It's very easy to acquire knowledge. You know, you just read some books, and there are so many scholars who have so much knowledge about Krishna, but they don't have any faith. So, then at an intellectual level, knowledge comes before faith. Then why is it saying that here knowledge is coming after faith? That we are talking about different kinds of knowledge. When we talk about academic scholar, the academic scholar's knowledge is theoretical. Theoretical basic knowledge one has to have. Whereas the knowledge of a Madhyama and of a Uttama is not just theoretical, it is transformational. Transformational not just in terms of how one's own life is transformed, but also in terms of how one can transform others' lives. So when one understands this is how others' lives can also be transformed, then that is a bhajana vijna, that is an advanced devotee. So normally, yes, for us in spiritual life also, we'll read Prabhupada's books and the theoretical knowledge will come before the realization and the faith. But even after the knowledge has come and even after faith has come, actually it takes time to understand how should I speak? In this situation, how should I deal with this devotee? How should I guide this person? That takes years and years of experience. And not just years and years of experience, it also requires spiritual advancement, it requires Krishna's mercy. That is a bhajana vijna. So that is the advanced stage. Now, adhikar and adhikari, when we see, so the kanishta, if the kanishta devotee keeps practicing devotional service, then the shraddha will become strong. and then they come to the Madhyama stage. It keeps practicing further, and the person will become even more advanced and come to the Uttama stage gradually. And this is how spiritual progression takes place for everyone. Now, Prabhupada explains in the purport that he says even the characteristic of a person who wants to be initiated is that person should not be too interested in material life. Prabhupada says that one should take a guru not for fashion, one should take a guru for transformation, not fashion. That means some people, especially nowadays, the word guru has become trendy and people have their idea. You know, okay, when they invite somebody to their home, they say, see, this is my TV, this is my fridge, this is my sofa, this is my kitchen, this is my dog, and this is my guru. So people think it's just a fashion to have our guru. Now this kind of attitude is very detrimental. You know, a guru is not a showpiece in our hall. A guru is actually meant to show us the pieces in our heart. You know, our heart is shattered by our anarthas. How our love for Krishna is buried deep amid so many, below so many conditionings. And the guru is meant to help us bring that out. So guru is actually like a heart surgeon, and he cures the heart. That's what we say, that he cures our eyes, he gives us vision, and then he purifies our heart. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. So Gyananjana, so our eyes are closed by darkness, and by applying the ointment of knowledge and using the surgical instruments of purification, the guru enables us to Chakshurunmilitam Yena, he actually opens our eyes and he helps us to see truly. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Unto that spiritual master I offer obeisances. So now Prabhupada explains what should be the attitude when a disciple goes to such a guru or goes seeking for a guru. A disciple should be interested in spiritual inquiry. One shouldn't go to the spiritual master just to, I have this problem in life, how should I solve it? Yes, those problems are there and we may need guidance for solving them. But the important point is the whole material existence is problematic. And when we go to a doctor, we may tell the symptoms. Okay, this I have this symptom. But a doctor will pay attention to the symptom, but a doctor will go to the root. The doctor will say, this is the cause and this is how you have to be treated. So the guru may tell us some things, the spiritual master may tell us some things for the symptomatic problems also. But the treatment addressing the root causes forgetfulness of Krishna. And what the spiritual master provides us is the medicine for that. We discussed earlier how all of us have forgotten Krishna. We are suffering from amnesia. So if a millionaire's child is fallen in a valley because of accident while going through a hill road and is now forgotten everything and is struggling, breaking trees and carrying logs, working as a woodcutter, slaving, and then the sufferings at that level are real. Yes, that there is pain in the back, there is excessive burden, there is tiredness. But all those pains are superficial. If the billionaire son just remembers, oh, I am the son of that wealthy father, then be lifted out of that suffering and go back to the father and all the sufferings will go away. So similarly, we are having problems in material existence and those problems have to be dealt with at a material level, but they are endless. And if we let all our energy get caught in just dealing with these problems, then because they are endless, we'll just keep staying on dealing with these problems life after life after life. So in material life, the loose ends never end. You know, loose ends is an English phrase that means, okay, this small end, I have to fix it up. I have to fix that up. So the loose ends, we have to fix those up. The small things that are wrong, we fix it up. But the loose ends never end. That means we keep fixing up things and they keep getting unfixed. They keep going wrong. We set them right, they keep going wrong. So at a material level, it's endless. So we put in energy, we put in effort, whatever is appropriate. But we also reserve some time and energy for making spiritual advancement. So we go to the spiritual master primarily for helping and dealing with our spiritual problem, our forgetfulness of Krishna. So when a person is ready for the transformation, person is ready, yes, my sufferings are because of being in material existence and I want to come out of this material existence, then such a person becomes ready for practicing spiritual life. And Prabhupada says at such a time one can take initiation. Now we see, as compared to many other movements, the initiation standard itself of Krishna consciousness are very high. Now following the 4 Janis 16 rounds, from the materialistic standards. This itself seems so forbiddingly high, and for us this is the beginning. So what does it indicate? Actually, at one level you could say we are fanatically strict, but that is not the point. The point is that the Krishna conscious process has so much potency that although these standards are so high as compared to the mass of general mass of people, still many people are practicing it. And the fact that people are able to practice it demonstrates that Krishna consciousness does provide a higher taste. So Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport that there were these Western boys and girls who were involved in all kinds of materialistic activities, and some of them from very wealthy families. But when they started practicing Krishna consciousness, it gave them such a taste that they left everything else. And they came and stayed in the association of devotees, sometimes in very austere conditions. And still they were practicing devotional life. And they were sharing devotional culture with everyone, devotional knowledge, devotional culture. They went all over the world, accepting immense austerity, sometimes even risking lives. Srila Prabhupada asked some of the disciples to go to Pakistan and preach. Pakistan being a Muslim country and hostile to Hinduism, the public preaching was danger for life also, but the devotees did that. So why? Because they were getting a higher taste. And that is, in a sense, the demonstration of the potency of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada says, when one is actually detach oneself from material life and is trying to attach oneself to spiritual life, then at that time one can take initiation. And then Prabhupada talks about the chanting of the holy names, how that is important. There's this famous anecdote that it comes in Hare Krishna Express and several other places. Prabhupada told at initiation time that all of you should chant 64 rounds every day. Devotees calculate 64 rounds. It's impossible. It will take all day. Prabhupada said, okay, not 64, then 32. Not possible, it will take so many hours. Prabhupada 16 and nothing less. Now when Prabhupada told us to chant 16 rounds, and Prabhupada writes in the purport that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he said that anybody who is not able to chant 64 rounds has fallen. Now Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur of course had multiple standards. For Grahastha, he expected to chant some number of rounds. For those sannyasi, 64 rounds. But the point which Prabhupada is making through this is that if we don't have attraction to Krishna, we are fallen. The inability to chant a particular number of rounds indicates our fallen condition. And we begin our spiritual advancement by accepting that we are fallen. So, by committedly chanting the holy names, we keep taking the medicine. See, when we take the medicine, our focus is not on the taste. Now, if we want a taste, we would go to a 5-star hotel. If we want taste, we don't go to a hospital. We'll discuss about this in the Syat Krishna Nam Charita Adi verse also more. But when we're chanting the holy names, our focus is on taking the medicine of the holy name and purifying ourselves by that. And by this purification, we'll get cured, and then we'll naturally gain happiness. But the important point is that we chant attentively. And that is how Shushrushaya. So how do we serve the spiritual master? The most important service of a disciple is the chanting of the holy names. Because that is the initiation vow. For no other service are we taking vows. But for initiation we take a vow. In front of the sacred fire, in front of the Vaishnavas, in front of the spiritual master, in front of the deities, we take a vow that I'll chant 16 rounds. So it's an extremely important service. And sometimes what happens is that this service, nobody asks about it. How is your chanting going? Are you chanting well? Are you able to chant attentively? Are you able to complete your rounds in the morning? And sometimes when some counselors are there, the counselors may ask. But in general, our interaction with devotees, once we get other services, it becomes more functional. Hey, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you go here? Did you do that? How many books did you distribute? How is the program going over there? How many people are going to come? So our interactions become very functional. They are also important because the functions are centered on Krishna. But we may feel that nobody is asking me about chanting. Therefore, chanting is not so important. But the point is, chanting is the basic sustenance of our spiritual life. It's just like if somebody tells me, okay, now you have this car, please can you bring this car to the program over there? So now when people are telling, when I'm being told, drive this car and bring it to the program there, it is implicit in that I should drive carefully and not cause an accident of the car. So that is implied directly. One doesn't have to tell, okay, when you're driving, don't cause accidents. When you say, go there, take the car there, I mean, that's implied. So like that, it's not that every time a driver is told to drive, all the basics of driving have to be reminded. It's implied. So like that, when we are doing various services, the basics of spiritual life, it's not that we will be told every time. The basics of chanting 16 rounds, following the regular principle, these are basics. And these are implied. So in our interaction with devotees, we may not be told those many times. But if you read Srila Prabhupada's book, Prabhupada just keeps bringing them again and again. He reminds us that this is important. And just because devotees may not talk about it, doesn't mean that it is not important. It is important. It is foundational to our spiritual treatment. And the important point is, in our context, this is also Shushrushaya. And our faithful service to the spiritual master, it is also centered on chanting. If we are chanting attentively, we are serving the spiritual master. We are honoring the promise that we made to the spiritual master. And by that, we make steady spiritual advancement. All the other services are also important, but the chanting is also an important service. And as seekers, Shushrushaya, Bhajanavikyam, we serve the spiritual master. So every devotee, you think that my spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, when he was here in his physical manifested presence for us, you know, they were carrying so much burden in the service of Krishna. So they were carrying so much burden. So what should I do? Imagine if we are walking along and we see some senior devotee coming along carrying a big bag. So what will we do? Say, Prabhuji, Maharaj, please let me carry the bag. Isn't it? We see some senior devotees there. Naturally, we'll do that. So like that, when we see somebody whom we respect doing something difficult, we want to unburden them as much as possible. So same way, the spiritual master is carrying such a big burden of sharing Krishna consciousness with so many people. So a disciple should feel, let me shoulder the burden of my spiritual master. Let me become committed. Let me become responsible. Responsible not just for my spiritual life, but responsible for sharing the responsibility of my spiritual master, shouldering it, some small fragment of it. So, a new devotee, actually far from shouldering the burden, burden the shoulder. What does it mean, burden the shoulder? That means that, goes to the spiritual master, goes to the spiritual, I have this problem, I had that problem, I had that problem, you know, people, devotees don't care for me, this happened, that happened. Now, if we have serious problems, we definitely have to discuss those. But actually, our attitude is also important. And if you are always expecting things from others, then others will never live up to our expectations. And then we'll always have problems. But if we start getting involved in services, then what happens? Our focus shifts from expectation to contribution. And when the focus shifts from expectation to contribution, then because there are not so many expectations, then there is less frustration, there are less problems. And because the focus is on contribution, and we are trying to serve, then even if there are difficulties, there will be others who will see that we are not so self-obsessed. We are trying to make a positive contribution for the mission. They will help us. So we should try to shoulder the burden of the spiritual master, not burden the shoulder. Just like when a small child is born and a child is growing, what does the child do? Child burden the shoulder of the mother. The mother has to carry the child around. And that is fine. The mother will be happy to do that. Mother will love to do that. Because she loves the child. So he may do it when the child is 1, 2, 3, 5. But if the child becomes 10-year-old and says, Mother, carry me now. Now you have to walk on your own. And then the child becomes 20 years old and the mother is carrying a luggage. The mother says, take this luggage. He says, no, earlier you were carrying me. Why are you telling me? No, you are grown up. So similarly, now the love between the mother and the child is the same. In fact, it can become deeper. But the way in which it is expressed is different. So initially, any problem that we have, we go to devotees. I have this problem, I have that problem, I have that problem. How to deal with it? And devotees will lovingly deal with it for us. So they are shouldering our burden. We are burdening their shoulder. But the test of our spiritual advancement is that as we grow up, then instead of burdening their shoulder, we shoulder their burden. We don't talk too much about our problems with them because we just see them in perspective. In this life, problems will come, problems will go. Instead, I try to take up services, I take up responsibilities. And by that, I make spiritual advancement. Shushrushaya bhajana vikyam ananyamanya. So we serve faithfully to advanced devotees. So, in the next verse, we'll discuss about how when we are doing this kind of service to advanced devotees, we should see them with spiritual vision, not with material vision. Thank you very much. Shri Upadesha Amrit ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki Jai.
இருக்குது.